these panels, where are these from?
They were created by a nonprofit up in Chicago called Company of Folk, and their mission is to make arts known across the state from celebrating Illinois artists.
And how did we end up with them in Macomb?
Bucky Hawker is the president and founder of that organization, and we worked with him on New Harmonies. He's a great advocate of the Illinois Arts Council, and he approached me to advise on those panels, the creation of those panels, and as a result, we got first dibs. And so we're the premier exhibit of those 10 panels.
Really, in Macomb?
That's right, here in Macomb.
And you have some at the museum, and you have some at the library.
Correct, yes, here at Western Illinois University Libraries, yes.
And those will switch halfway through the exhibit?
Yes, they will switch on October 14th, but the exhibit will be up through November 21st.
Right here at the Garden Lounge, they're set up how they will be set up during this time?
For most time.
Actually, after today, we're going to switch them around, so as people enter the library, they'll be able to see them from a distance, and hopefully that'll draw more people in to review them. And then, depending on other events, they'll still be viewable.
All right. And you both have events going on at your buildings in conjunction with this. Why are you holding these events?
I think our region has a fair amount of folk artists as well, or people that carry on traditions that have been handed down. So it's a chance to celebrate the people that make our community unique in that area. We have wide-ranging things from a turkey call maker and fiddle players, dances, what else, Tammy?
Well, the student dance troupe out of Casa Latina, the Tradicion Hispana dance troupe, is coming next week. And like I said, that's a student group, and they're going to come and talk about the tradition of their dance as well as perform a couple of them on Wednesday the 18th.
Bucky Hawker will also be down October 18th to speak about some of these artists that are featured in the panel and talk about his work with Company of Folk. That'll be at the museum on a Friday at 7, followed by a jam session. And he is a pretty well-known musician in the area of Woody Guthrie's music. And he'll be, anybody's welcome, come and jam with Bucky and the Whitma group and have a good time.
Well, why do you each feel it's important to, I guess, highlight folk art, to bring some attention to it?
I think there are a lot of venues for fine artists in our community, the Art Center and on the Square and here on campus, but often that tradition of folk arts is passed on and often celebrated in maybe homes and in clubs, but I think it deserves a wider audience, and this is an opportunity to make people aware of artists that are working and carrying on these traditions.
Yeah, I would agree with what Sue had to say on that.
You don't have anything to add to that?
Well, when Sue approached me for it, of course, we were willing to host it. Anytime that we can bring something different to bring a wider audience into the library, we're happy to collaborate and do that sort of thing. And I think it's important for the students to see that there's these traditions that are out there that people do carry on in their homes, and they are an art form, and what those forms are, and this is a wonderful way for them to take their time and come in to take a look at the panels and learn more about that.
You know, with an art program here on campus, a fine art program, that's one avenue to learn about these things, and folk art traditions are another way. And I think for me where the interest comes is where those two things kind of collide and come together. And many of the artists that are featured in that panel are actually of that kind of ilk. You know, that's the kind of their philosophy. You know, we're all influenced by our education and things, but we have these traditions that we carry with us. So there's a sweet spot for me that I really enjoy about the artists that are featured here, and I think the artists that are featured in our programs.
And these are artists that perhaps many people don't hear about. You know, you get these big-name artists that everyone knows, but there are a lot of other people creating art that perhaps we don't know about, and this is perhaps a way to bring a little bit of a spotlight to them.
Absolutely. And some of them are not very far from us. We have a dance troupe from Moline, people from Bloomington. So there are things that are, you know, downstate, so to speak. So, yes, they're all around us if this gives us an opportunity to take a look at them.
Anything either you would like to add, anything you think people should know about this?
They can check out the University Library's website to find the events that are listed on there as well if they're interested in attending that. So they're all listed that way.
And there are links as well to the Company of Folk website where you can learn more about the artists that are featured on the panels as well. And I would just like to thank Tammy and the university for being a partner with us in this project.
Well, thank you.
Mandalas and labyrinths are considered folk arts. Why?
They're a tradition that's carried forth through generations. Many of the artists who do this work follow the lead of either a family member or a trade person who does this. So those kinds of traditions have been passed on, and folk art is along those same lines. And it's also both the labyrinth and the mandala a lot of times incorporate materials that aren't always utilized in other fine art forms. You have the opportunity to be more creative. And I think that's one of the elements that makes folk art stand out. You're willing to use the materials at hand and not be beholden to the ideal materials.
Yeah, during your presentation, you talked about your dumpster diving. I mean, it's finding, you know, one person's trash is another person's treasure, basically.
Absolutely. And I think some of the artists whose work is on this display have also said something very similar. It really pushes your level of creativity to take something that is trash and find a way to use it to your advantage and to not only just use it, but to make it the highlight of what you're looking at and not recognizable as well as trash. So I definitely have a thing for plates and pottery, and most people don't really know what they're looking at when they're looking at it. And then when I point out, oh, this used to be a plate or a bowl or a vase, it becomes something new altogether for them.
It's usually smashed into smaller pieces, correct?
It's all about the smashing in the end for me. Yes, indeed. Certainly with the groups that I work, some people just like to smash plates, and that's totally fine. It ends up being very cathartic to do something that you're told not to do or you get in trouble for. So, we break it into much smaller pieces, and that's what keeps it kind of fresh. It's not something that you know exactly what you're looking at. And there's a lot of colors with broken plates.
And this was not something that was actually passed down to you through your family or friends. You decided you wanted to try a new art form, and you came across this and researched it, basically, right?
Yes, and that would also fall in line with the folk artists. There's a lot of exploration, improvisation that you go through, and as an artist, it's exciting to take a look at something and then see how far you can go in it. When I do research for mandalas or labyrinths, it's much more than just what materials am I going to use, what pattern am I going to use. There's ancient symbolism that carries forth and has resonance for us. There are archetypal images that have meaning, whether we recognize it or not. There's something that grabs us or touches us when we look at it because we're using those old symbols that have been carried forth through centuries.